Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Hates me. Have you read the YouTube comments lately? Man, that's gay. Gets dropped on the daily. We become so numb to what we're saying. A culture founded from oppression. Yeah, we don't have acceptance for them. Call each other faggots behind the keys of a message board. A word rooted in hate, yet our genre still ignores it. Gay is synonymous with the lesser. It's the same hate that's caused wars from religion. Gender to skin color, the complexion of your pigment. The same fight that led people to walkouts and sit-ins. It's human rights for everybody. There is no difference. Live on and be yourself. When I was at church, they taught me something else. If you preach hate at the service, those words aren't anointed. That holy water that you soak in has been poisoned. When everyone else is more comfortable remaining voiceless rather than fighting for humans that have had their rights stolen. I might not be the same, but that's not important. No freedom till we're equal. Damn right I support it.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 530. I'm Amy Matheny, and wow, I'm excited today about our guest. Idina Menzel is on the show, and if you're a Broadway fan or have been a Broadway fan in the past 15 or 20 years, you have followed her career from Rent to Wicked to her concerts to her appearance on television and film, specifically perhaps Glee. And it's in sad news today with the death of Corey Monteith from Glee that we have Idina on the show. At the time of the recording yesterday, I did not know of Corey's passing, so I do not ask her to comment upon that. But news did come out about Corey Monteith's death, and it is such a loss. More will be revealed, I am sure, about what his death was about. But I am very excited to have Idina on the show. She is coming to Chicago for a rare Chicago area, to Aurora specifically, for a rare Chicago appearance. Very excited to have her on the Queercast and interview her for the first time. We have a really great conversation, and she's one amazing lady, talented, and I dig what she's about. Plus, did you get the little pun there? The Tay Diggs. Yes, I go there. Anyhow, everybody, I hope that you're having a good week. The weather has definitely heated up in Chicago. For those of you here in our fair city, it has definitely gotten hot. And boy, the stories and things that are unfolding after the Supreme Court decision, so much news continues to be state by state, lawsuits and actions being taken to legally have us seen as equal under the law in all states across the United States. And it's also having global implications as well. So lots of that in our news stories. So I'm excited. I'm excited that there is momentum. I'm excited to have Idina on the show. The sun is out. The rain has kind of gone away a little bit. And I'm very, very thrilled to be with you today. Next week, I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about some travel that I'm doing. Going home as a tourist. Now, I don't know if any of you come from somewhere that you return to your home and you look at it with a fresh set of eyes, or able to, maybe because you're trying to show off your town to friends or other people who've never visited. Well, I have this opportunity to go back home to East Tennessee, specifically to Chattanooga, which is not exactly where I was born, but the big city kind of close by, and take some friends. And so I'm going to be talking with the publicist for the city of Chattanooga before my trip, and then tell you all about my trip. Plus, Mitchell Fain's going to be on the show. He just officiated his very first wedding, and he spent some time going back home and being in New England. And so Mitchell and I are both kind of going home. That's in the upcoming shows. But this show, it's all about Idina Menzel. I'm so excited.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. A murder trial in Kentucky has marked the first legal test in the state involving whether same-sex partners can be forced to testify against each other. Prosecutors say Geneva Case heard her spouse, Bobby Joe Clary, admit to killing a man 2 years ago and saw her clean blood out of the man's van and abandon it in southern Indiana. Case and Clary entered into a same-sex civil union in Vermont in 2004. However, Kentucky law does not recognize union or marriages, even though it exempts spouses from being compelled to testify against each other.
A lesbian couple from Colorado has become the first same-sex couple to receive a green card based on their marriage. Kathy Davis, an Irish citizen, and Katrona Dowling met in 2006 while trekking in the Himalayas. They married in Iowa in 2012 and are raising three children in Boulder. The approval came exactly a week after the Supreme Court struck down Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act.
The Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee passed the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, or ENDA, 15-7, indicating bipartisan support. The measure would prohibit employment discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. The bill, which does not contain religious exemptions, now heads to the full Senate, where it has a solid majority in favor with 53 co-sponsors. However, a majority doesn't guarantee passage, since so many bills are now filibustered, requiring 60 votes to break.
11 same-sex couples are suing the state of Arkansas for the right to marry. In their complaint filed in the Pulaski Circuit Court, the plaintiffs are asking a judge to declare Amendment 83, the state's 2004 voter-approved constitutional amendment defining marriage as a heterosexual union, to be in violation of the U.S. Constitution.
Republican Jim Petro, the former Attorney General of Ohio, now backs marriage rights for same-sex couples. Petro, who was Attorney General from 2003 to 2007, made the announcement with the advocacy group Freedom Ohio. The organization is working to amend the state's constitution, which prohibits marriage rights for gay couples.
Under the fiscal year 14 spending bill, the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Labor, HHS, education-related agencies passed, funding for the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program would increase by $51 million over the fiscal year 13. The Senate is proposing to boost funding for the AIDS Drug Assistance Program by $47 million, the same level Obama proposed. The Institute says that there continues to be about 50,000 new HIV infections each year, but that the federal government allocates only 4% of its domestic HIV spending on prevention.
Bisbee, Arizona couple Kathy Soden and Deborah Greer made history when they became the first same-sex couple in Arizona to have their relationship legally recognized as a civil union. Soden and Greer's civil union allows them to claim a few of the privileges that married couples enjoy, including the ability to make medical decisions for one another when necessary. Bisbee was the first city in Arizona to approve same-sex civil unions. The new legislation was put into practice 30 days after the city council approved an ordinance legalizing civil unions for same-sex couples on June 4th.
The Washington, D.C. Council gave final approval to a bill that supporters say will remove hurdles in the process for transgender people to obtain a new birth certificate to reflect their gender. The bill is called the Jeparker Dione Jones Birth Certificate Equality Amendment Act of 2013 in honor of the transgender woman who was murdered in February of 2012.
In world news, Pope Francis and his predecessor, Benedict XVI, have issued an 82-page collaborative document in which they reaffirm the Roman Catholic Church's opposition to same-sex marriage. The document says that marriage should be a stable union of man and woman.
In Australia, new HIV diagnoses are on the rise in the state of the New South Wales, with 409 cases in 2012 as compared to 331 in 2011. Most of the infections were among men who have sex with other men. However, there was also an increase among heterosexuals.
In Canada, a transgender rights bill has had a setback. Bill C-279, would include transgender and gender-variant Canadians in the Canadian Human Rights Act and protect them against discrimination. However, the private member's bill, introduced by MP Randall Garrison, failed to make it to a final vote before the Senate's summer recess began. The House of Commons passed the bill March 20th, and then it went to the Canadian Senate.
The Democratic Action Party's Tay Yee Chu, a state government lawmaker in the Malaysian state of Penang, has proposed setting up a committee to protect the welfare of transgender people. The development has led the state opposition leader to say that the measure could lead to marriage equality in the state.
In related news, New Zealand speed skater Blake Schellerup, a gay athlete, will risk arrest and deportation at the Sochi Winter Olympics next year. Schellerup, 28, will be wearing a rainbow pin to show his support for the LGBT community in Russia.
A Russian court ruled that the recent St. Petersburg gay pride event that resulted in dozens of arrests was, in fact, legal. Every person who attended the protest was arrested, with some even badly beaten by police, and around 60 people were left in custody. Regional court judges have now said that the people who attended the rally had their right to freedom of assembly ignored.
In entertainment news, HBO Documentary Films is currently in production on a film telling the story of the historic Supreme Court case that overturned Prop 8. Over the last 5 years, directors Ben Kottner and Ryan White have had exclusive access to the work of the legal team led by Ted Olson and David Boyce, as well as the lives of the four plaintiffs. The untitled feature will be completed by the end of this year to debut on the network in 2014.
Openly gay country music singer Steve Grand's YouTube video for the ballad All American Boy has gone viral with more than 500,000 views, considered impressive for a complete unknown. The video portrays a young gay man, Grand, who misreads signals from apparently a straight All American male friend. Grand is from Chicago.
Sir Elton John has said he nearly died after excruciating stomach pain forced him to cancel his recent headline concert in London's Hyde Park. He has been forced to scrap the rest of the European summer tour after scans revealed a potentially fatal abscess on his appendix. John, who is now 66, is expected to undergo surgery soon.
In sad news, Corey Monteith, who played Finn on the Fox show Glee, was found dead in a Vancouver hotel room on July 13th. He was 31 years old. The cause of death was not immediately apparent, but they ruled out foul play. Medical authorities plan to conduct an autopsy on Monteith's body. His body was discovered by staff members at the Fairmont Pacific Rim Hotel after he missed his checkout time.
On Big Brother, Andy Heron, the show's only gay contestant, has had a charity started in his name for the Trevor Project. On the series, Heron has been victim to some of the anti-gay comments made by his fellow contestants. He isn't allowed to contact the outside world while appearing on the show, so two of his friends, Chandra White and Scott Goering, have started Plan G, a fundraiser for the project.
And a star-studded one-night-only celebration of Tony winner Cheetah Rivera, who recently returned to Broadway in The Mystery of Edwin Drood, will be presented October 7th at the August Wilson Theater. The event, which will mark Rivera's 80th birthday, is titled Cheetah, a Legendary Celebration.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, this is Emily from the Indigo Girls, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 15th, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Main Stage presents the all-female klezmer band Isle of Klezbos. One night only, July 21st, performing Yiddish swing, retro tango, and neo-traditional folk. Isle of Klezbos was featured on Showtime's The L Word and has been called brilliant and provocative. Tickets to Isle of Klezbos are on sale now at mainstage.com. That's M-A-Y-N-E stage.com.
Idina Menzel comes to Aurora's River Edge Park Outdoor Concert Pavilion for one night only, July 19th. The star of Broadway's Wicked and Rent takes the stage with a 55-piece orchestra to perform her greatest hits. Limited tickets are available at RiverEdgeAurora.com. Visit RiverEdgeAurora.com and don't miss Idina Menzel's rare Chicago appearance. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
In a perfect world, in another time, in a far off place, we wouldn't need to justify everything we are and all that we believe. We could finally be whoever we both want to be. But when we can't be heard, when we can't be seen, I will call you close and you will reach for me. When all of the beauty turns to pain, when all of the madness falls like rain, as long as we crash and we collide, we will be gorgeous.
Star of stage and screen Idina Menzel is on tour, and she's making a rare one-night-only Chicago area appearance. In 2003, she made Girls Everywhere Want to Be Green with her Tony Award-winning performance in Wicked. And now she's been taking her show on the road and performing with symphonies around the world. And I'm just so excited that she's at least gotten on a time zone where she can dial in and we can chat for a little bit about her exciting show here and also in Pittsburgh and something coming up in New York. So for the first time on our show, Idina Menzel. Hey, Idina, how are you?
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Aw, thanks for being on. So you just returned from taking your show really on the road. You were in Australia. How did you love Australia? Was it your first time there?
It was my first time singing there, which was a whole different experience. I was there once before with my husband on holiday visiting a friend, but this, you know, to go abroad like that and to have people fill the seats in a whole nother country in the Southern Hemisphere is quite an honor, and it's mind blowing.
Wow! And can you tell our audience is different there as an audience?
No. I mean, they're just as, if not more, raucous and supportive, and you know, it seems like all the audience you would expect at a very conservative symphony type show is not what you get when you come to mine. I think the few and far between that come thinking they're seeing that are taken aback for the better or worse. I don't know, but it's quite fun and loud and boisterous, and I try to keep real spontaneity, and you know, it's just, I don't know if it's the diamondate show a week creature and I need to make every show feel different, but I really feel very strongly about that each audience gets something unique unto them.
Well, your symphony, the CD and the DVD of your live performance Barefoot at the Symphony, were you performing barefoot in Australia, and are you continuing to perform barefoot with your symphony tour?
Yeah, no, it's just what makes me more comfortable. Yeah. I mean, I've talked about the story before, you know, in case people hadn't heard. I was dressing up a lot because when I stopped playing with my rock band and started going out with these beautiful, magnificent orchestras and symphonies, you know, I felt like I was a little out of my element and I needed to dress up and wear the gown and the high heels. But I was also taking my little boy around at the time when I first started, like he was a year old. So I was flying with him everywhere and had the stroller and the car seat. And just, I woke up one morning and I think it was Florida, I was supposed to do a show and I could barely walk. My back was killing me. And so I threw off the shoes and said, you know, F it, and went
out. You can actually say that on a podcast. You can say fuck it if you'd like to.
I can?
Yes.
Oh, good. So I think it was a Florida show. I woke up one morning, my back was killing me, I could barely walk, and I just said fuck it, and I went out there, and I had the best show ever, you know. I was just so much more comfortable in my body, and it was, so I've just never gone back, really.
Yeah, you're following in the bare footsteps of another great vocalist, Katie Lang, who I've interviewed many times, and she loves to perform barefoot, and preferably in her pajamas. So.
Yeah, right? Yeah, she's amazing. Katie Lang.
It's a great trend.
Yeah, I can't get away with the PJs, really. They probably would find that to be way too irreverent in these halls, but
You never know. I mean, I don't know. But I like dressing up. It's not that.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
You know, for some reason, I just, you know what it is? It's the intensity and the grandiosity of these halls and everything. It's it's a way to just, I truly feel it keeps me more grounded. And
yeah.
It helps me bridge the gap between finding an intimate little corner with the whole audience and not getting too carried away with 80 pieces behind me. You know,
yeah.
there's something there that really helps me with that. And and maybe it also symbolizes something to the audience that, okay, this isn't just another show where I'm going to throw all this wall of sound at you and everything's going to be, you know, it's just going to be presented. I like to feel like people are, you know, welcomed into my little world and that, you know, I shed a little piece of my soul each night.
You talk about that intimacy and just that groundedness, and I am going to go back because I'd be remiss with a GLBT audience listening to not talk about Jonathan Larson, to not talk about the Rent experience, and you playing Maureen, the lesbian character, one of the lesbians of that show. Did you all know that magic was happening? Did you know it was going to be this smash hit? And did you know it was something so different?
No, we were doing this little off-Broadway show, you know, down in the Village. And, I knew it was something, that meant something to me. I knew it was special. I didn't know it had the largesse that it ended up having. So it was quite a surprise. And, sorry, I'm not making a good answer. Hold on. We really had no idea. We knew we were doing something special, and we were down in the East Village, you know, doing this little off-Broadway show that was important to us. And, you know, sometimes I'd have chills when I'd hear some of the songs, but I didn't know that it would become the phenomenon that it did.
Yeah. It was so great because one of my guilty pleasures every summer is to watch So You Think You Can Dance. And a couple of weeks ago, they featured you doing No Day But Today. Did you, I mean, I assume you knew that was happening, but to me that just, I mean, to put that artistry of those choreographers and those dancers with the artistry of Jonathan Larson's writing and that symphony, you know, in your production, it to me is almost was too much. It's just like, it's so fantastic.
Oh.
I was so excited and I knew that I might be getting an interview with you. And I was like, oh my gosh, Adina's like on So You Think You Can Dance. I'm a huge fan. Are you a fan of the show?
A huge fan. Yeah. We tape all the shows and my husband and I, and I didn't even realize it. And I saw Adam Shankman tweeted me about it, and so I went and checked it out as soon as I got back from Australia, and it was just gorgeous, you know, and I'm just happy, you know, for Jonathan that it just, his music just keeps being recycled.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a great moment. People should go back on YouTube and see if somebody's posted that. If you missed that episode of So You Think You Can Dance, I'm sure it'll be titled No Day But Today. So you mentioned earlier that you're an 8-show-a-week gal. And with playing Elphaba in Wicked, which earned you a Tony Award. How did you maintain your vocal health with that show? I mean, that is just the juggernaut of roles. It's kind of like Mama Rose and Elphaba, you know.
Yes,
the Wicked
exactly.
Kind of added another role. So how did you maintain your vocal health for singers out there listening? And what did you do to just do that show, 8 shows a week for so long?
I'm very disciplined when it comes to my warm-ups and my teacher that I go to. Her name's Tanya Travers. She's in New York City. And I've been with her for 20 years, or probably more than that now, ever since college. And I've learned for myself, because when I was in Rent, actually, I had stopped going to her for a while and got lazy and wasn't preparing right, and I actually lost my voice in Rent for a little while. So ever since that traumatized me, I really figure out how, it's like kind of like running a marathon, you know, you wouldn't just get up and start running 26 miles, you know, so what I do is I know if I have a new show or something going on, I start singing 20 minutes a day and then I make it 30 and then 45. And so really my, it's like the muscles. And, so it's not a big surprise, to my voice. And I find that if I'm singing really well and I'm not straining, I'm using my technique, that by Sunday sometimes I'm stronger than on Tuesday after a day off, because it's just a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
Granted, you get sick, or, you know, it's that time of the month or whatever, then there's always things, or you have a fight with your husband the night before and you're crying, then you're on your own. You know?
You never fight with Tay. Please tell us you never fight with Tay late at
night. Of course we do. Of course we do. And another hint I have, and you can include this or not, is that I have, like, I call it my A, B, and my C shows. So, like, my A show is to hit every note, the highest stuff, the most acrobatic, the most impressive stuff that I've done on my best days. But then I come up with B and C shows that if I'm not 100% and I'm not feeling well, that they're still great melodies and still really impressive, because most people don't know the difference. And this way, instead of aspiring to do the A show and feeling really let down psychologically, being in front of this whole audience and feeling like I'm failing, right, I'm aspiring to do with the best B or C show I can. And then my psychology, my mental state is much better. And then I feel good. I say, okay, that matinee, you know, I didn't feel very well, but I gave a great show. And I've also learned that it's about, you know, being emotionally connected, and that it's not all about high notes, you know, and that if you're not 100%, that I still can connect with people. It's about your heart and being vulnerable, and it's, you know, it's not just about being perfect.
Yeah. The television show Glee, you definitely have a relationship and a wonderful character that has recurred on that show, in Rachel's mom, her birth mom. But they're kind of cleaning house with some of the original characters, even though this week they announced that Adam Lambert's going to be coming on in the upcoming season. Do you think your character will be back on that show, or do you know if your character will be back on that show?
I have no idea. It's just like they always surprise me. You know, I was there the first season for a bunch, and then come back the third season, I got the call out of nowhere. So I love being there. They know I love the crew and Ryan Murphy and working with Leah Michelle. And so it's all just whether or not they go that way with the storyline. And I'm just happy that I've been this much a part of it. It's really been a great experience for
such
me.
An iconic, you know, show, and has really changed television in a way. And it's great to see.
Yeah, and also people's appreciation for musical theater as well. Mm-hmm. I think that people just can... They like the music. If they were never that into it, I think they can really appreciate it. And also they can kind of see the discipline that it takes, and how talented people and skilled people really have to be to sing that kind of music. You can't kind of fake that, you know?
Yeah, no, you cannot. So there are so many of your songs from some of your original music that I think of that are really pertinent today, especially with LGBT people, thinking of the song Brave or thinking of the song Gorgeous. Will you be incorporating any of those in your symphony tour, or do you see yourself going off?
Yeah, I have. In fact, I used to do Gorgeous. I haven't done it in a while. Maybe I'll bring it back from Chicago. And I started doing I Stand. I had that orchestrated for the symphonies. Maybe I'll do Brave. Yes, sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't. Depends on what's going on, but I will definitely take that into consideration.
There's some great anthems, you know, for our community, and it's very exciting also, you know, what's going on with the LGBT community. There feels like there's so much momentum, and you've been connected just to some great men who have left amazing legacies to the world of theater and music. I'm thinking particularly of Marvin Hamlisch, the legendary composer and conductor who passed away, who helmed your concert, Barefoot at the Symphony Live. His passing must have been so tough for you, and yet so bittersweet that you had a moment captured this time with him. What will be his legacy, Adina, and what has he meant to you in your career?
Oh, well, to me, he became like a mentor and father figure to me. He really gave me permission to be myself on stage in some of these stuffier environments. And the fact that he sort of passed the baton to me, so to speak, was such an honor and just made me feel so good and accepted in the light of all the amazing women and people that he's worked with, iconic women and men.
How did you first meet him? I mean, what was your first interaction with him? Because that has to be amazing when you first had that happen.
Yeah, they asked us to do a concert together. I think it was down in at Wolf Trap in D.C. And we just, it was like love at first sight. And, you know, I think he appreciated that I took a lot of my banter to him. And so we ended up having conversations on stage because he's hysterically funny and can tell stories for days. So it was this really great conversation back and forth that we had with each other. We used to say it was like two Jews up in the Catskills. So that was just amazing. And you know, and to sit at the piano with him and sing one of his famous songs while he's playing is something I will never, ever forget, and I will just cherish forever. And and so it's bittersweet every single time I get on stage. I do a tribute to him. And the more successful the tour becomes and the more prestigious and beautiful the places are that we play, the more I miss him because he would have wanted to be there at all of those places.
I'm sure he is with you in all of those places. He, as I say, for those of golfers out there, he really, you know, teed it up for you to take this show on the road, you know, and it sounds like in a real loving way. Looking ahead, because you are coming here one night only, Friday, July 19th at the new River Edge Park in Aurora. This is an amazing venue, and it's inaugural year. I know how excited they are to have you with the big Paramount 55-piece orchestra, and it's so exciting. Then the nights later, on you're going to be in Pittsburgh on Sunday, July 21st.
That's being here on Friday. Marvin Hamlisch used to be his residency.
Oh, at the Heinz?
Uh-huh.
That's fantastic. But you also are working on an event with a charity that you and your husband, Tay Diggs, started. A broader way, that this event that's happening in New York City on July 22nd. So some of those of you who live closer to the New York area, tell us about the benefit that you're doing on July 22nd.
Oh, I'm so excited that you brought it up. It's something I'm really proud of. It's, it's a performing arts camp, but for inner city girls, mostly from right now from Harlem and the Lower East Side. We're in about to go into our third summer, and we bring the girls up for about 10 days up in the Berkshire Mountains in Massachusetts. And, you know, they have the experience that I had when I was younger of being at sleepaway camp and swimming and dancing and playing sports and, you know, sleeping in the same room and, you know, growing up together. And then what makes it unique, I think, from other camps is that we put on a concert at the end back in Manhattan. Usually Columbia University gives us their theater, and the concert is an original piece that encompasses all of their ideas and their lyrics and poetry and choreography. So it's once they see it, then they do it for their parents. It's just such an accomplishment for them.
Amazing.
So, I'm really excited about it. Of course, it takes a lot of funds and money to get them all up there. And so we've really been trying to expand our reach, and we're doing this, you know, because I've been asked to do tons and tons of benefits in my life, and people are always, you know, trying to change it up, so it's refreshing. So we're doing this Broadway Does Karaoke thing with the audience and request any cheesy song they want us to sing, and we have this great band that's like does live karaoke, and Whoopi Goldberg's going to emcee it and stuff.
That'll be fun. Yeah. The Whoop. Get Whoopi to do a karaoke song. Get Whoopi to do some Air Supply for me.
Exactly.
So also, because people, I'm sure, always ask you, when are you going back to Broadway? When can we see you in a Broadway show? And you are working on a new musical, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely coming back. I've been working on a brand new show for the last couple of years, and I can finally say that we are ready to experiment with it out of town in Washington, D.C. for a little while, and then hopefully, if all goes well, bring it to Broadway next March. And it's called If Then, and it's a contemporary musical written by the Pulitzer and Tony-winning composers Tom Kitt and Brian Yorkey. And I'm reuniting with my Rent director and my Wicked producer. Mm. So it's actually a really, really loving, wonderful process for me. And I'm just so excited for people to see the show. It's beautiful.
Can you tell us just a little bit about what it's about and who you play in it?
Yeah, it's about a woman sort of starting her life over at my age, you know, turning 40 and getting a new start and coming back from Phoenix, Arizona, where she sort of chased her early husband for his career. And so she leaves him to come back to New York City and find her roots and mm-hmm. find herself again. And it's just sort of, it explores the difference and the importance between the choices we make and the chances mm-hmm. that we take, and what's put before us, and how that affects everything that we do and our destiny. And the music is just astounding, and it's still a work in progress, but it's got all the components that I think are, you know, something special. And I just, you know, I like to do original pieces. I'm not against any revivals. It's been what's been most successful for me. I like the process. It just takes longer to, you know, I've been a part of a couple of these that haven't come to fruition, and it's the, you know, these are things you have to really nurture for a long time until they get it right. And, hopefully when they do, they're like Rent or Wicked. I've struck gold twice, so I've lowered my expectations and just excited to be working with the people that I love and my theater family. But I think it's something special, and I think, people will really enjoy it.
Good things come in threes, my mama always used to say. So,
we'll die in threes.
I know. Well, let's not look at it that way. Let's have a glass half full look at it. So I just want to say, lastly, I have heard that you are going to be in a new Disney animated feature. And I have to say, as a child, probably my biggest dream was I went to voice a Disney character. So you've accomplished one of my goals, that you're going to be in this new feature, Frozen. I can live vicariously through you.
It's one of my things.
In many ways, I can live through you vicariously, because I'm also one of those lesbians who thinks your husband is gorgeous. You know, it defies sexuality. And also, you've been a Disney animated creature now, or person now. In Frozen, which is going to release this year in November of 2013. So,
And it's really, Disney's always trying to break their stereotypes, and, you know, and it's the first time it's really about two sisters, and it's my character is sort of definitely what's the word I wanted to use? She's not your typical evil nemesis. She's very sympathetic, and it embodies all of the female empowerment things that I think are so important to teach young girls, and things that I, you know, wrestle with myself always, you know, the power that we have inside and how, you know, scary it is to let it go, and that the way that we can ostracize ourselves when we let our most powerful fierce selves come to be, and how much better we are for it, and how much better it ends up being for the world. And those kind of themes are really in there, and it's just plus just sisterhood, and I have this great song, and I'm a blonde, which I'm so I'm such a sexy little blonde for a Disney movie, I have to tell you. And it gives me such a little swagger. It's very exciting. And I love the process, because I'm no stranger to the recording studio, so to me it's not tiring or anything. I like playing with my voice and taking take after take, and I've gotten to they've invited me into the animation process, and I've watched some of the guys in front of their computers, and they showed me how things work, and it's just fascinating. It's really fascinating.
It's too much. Too much. I'm so envious. I love it. I love that you got to do that. I'll be more envious of that than your husband, because that will just make more sense to the world at large. Considering that I'm a professional lesbian, it really doesn't work.
I have to say, it's cool to watch what they do. Did you know that? This is something I just learned. They start animating everything, right? And they animate. I'm watching them in the dailies, and I'm watching the characters up on the screen, and they're going through each shot with each other. And I was a fly on the wall, and my characters are all in these tight, like little short mini skirts. And see-through long gowns. And I'm thinking, is this what my character wears? But the reason they do that is they don't color in the long dress, because they get their legs and their movement first. They don't just assume, you know, that they can cover it. So they're getting their legs and their weight, the weight and the way you stand and the way you move. And then at the end, they put on the gown and cover up the legs. Isn't that interesting?
The whole world of like Disney and Pixar, the artistry and also kind of the meeting of art and science that is just blows my brain. It really does. And
they asked animators so that they could really, they'd like to really understand how I breathe and vocally what it's doing in my body and how I would move my hands and they take the acting and the process very seriously.
Well, they pick amazing people, and I'm so glad that now they're doing so much to empower women, you know, with Anika Noni Rose getting to do and then with Brave being such a hit. So it's great that they're giving us some wonderful female characters, and I love that you're exploring power. I'm reading Sheryl Sandberg, the Lean In, the CEO.
I just finished it.
Oh, you did? I'm not done, so don't tell me how it ends. But when you were talking, I was like, oh gosh, I just want our young girls to just have more and more and more of that, you know, more of those options for themselves. And I love that that's a big part of your life mission with your charity and just the roles that you
pick. Out of the game before you have to, just because of some preconceived notion of what we're supposed to be as women. Like,
that's right.
You know, and then trying to fix society or evolve society on the other side of it, so that, you know, we can have these opportunities. You know, it takes a little on both sides, I think.
You know,
getting
sit
our
at the
men
table.
To feel more comfortable going home and actually taking their paternity leave. So, you know, because right now, stereotypically, they don't feel comfortable. They feel like wusses if they do that, you know.
Yep.
And then, and we have to let go a little bit more as women and let them take that mantle, so that we can. So it's just it's like this little sculpture that we have to keep like etching from all different sides. But I love how she's just telling us to, like, you know, don't take us out of the game before we even get there. You know,
sit at the table. Don't put your hand down. Keep your hand up. I loved that. I thought that is like a metaphor for life right there for women.
Exactly.
Keep your hand up. I love that. You read the book, you'll know what Adina and I are talking about. Well, Adina Menzel, I could talk to you all afternoon, but I need to let you get some rest and get all geared up to come to Chicago area. We're so excited. She's performing one night only, folks, in the Chicago area, Friday, July 19th at the beautiful new River Edge Park in Aurora with the Paramount 55-piece orchestra. You can get your tickets at riveredgeaurora.com. And we'll have that linked in our show notes or via the phone, of course, 630-896-6666. She's also going to be in Pittsburgh at the Heinz on Sunday, July 21st, if you want information on that. On her CDs, her DVD, her appearances, and just to stay current with her, always check out her website, adinamenzel.com, which we will have linked in our show notes. And I should just say, because I want to give Aurora a big plug, that this beautiful new River Edge Park is at 360 North Broadway. It's just steps from downtown Aurora. It's right across from the Metro, so you can hop the Metro if you live in the city, and it's right on the beautiful Fox River, and we've been having gorgeous weather, so just a wonderful time to go there, spend the afternoon, have dinner, and go see Adina's show. I know we have lots of listeners and people going, so and if you haven't gotten your tickets, get them. You can sit on the lawn, you can have a reserve seat. It's just a really fun, beautiful, and moving evening with Adina. Adina, thank you so much for being on.
That was
it's
so
been
kind of you
great.
To say it like that.
And,
thank you so much.
Hopefully we'll talk soon with these new endeavors and have you on the show again.
Okay, thank you so much for having me.
was yours to mend. No other path, no other way, no day but today.
Something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
Well, everyone, I hope you will catch Adina, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week, whatever you're doing. Stay cool. Look out for one another, especially those without air conditioning. And next week, Mitchell and I'll both be kind of going home. So we hope you will go with us.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.